Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. Got a packed program tonight. We're going to be joined by Dr. Mark McDonald, first-time guest, and I hope you'll return again. He's author of a brand new book. It's actually a book that fits really well with my brand new documentary on brainwashing. Part two, as you know, came out, was premiered Sunday night. It's now available at WVWTV.com. His new book is called United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. He'll join us here in just a second. Annie Cyrus with an update tonight on Iran. Did you know the president of Iran is now in the United States of America? Did you know that? I bet you didn't, because very few people, very few outlets are even telling you that the president of Iran has touched down and is in the United States of America. Why is this a problem? Why is this troubling? You'll hear from former Iranian Annie Cyrus. And then we'll be joined by Steve Kirsch. Steve Kirsch will join us. I like having Steve on. Steve is an admitted progressive, and yet he and I can agree on these things related to forcing people to wear a mask, the COVID shot, the dangers. You're going to want to hear the latest coming off his Substack, Steve Kirsch. Then I'll be joined by Tim Rantham. He's the state representative that ran for governor. He's got some breaking news out of Wisconsin. And then we'll be joined by our buddy Todd Bensman, who's making literally international news. I alerted him today about an article that's featuring him in the Daily Mail UK. I said, hey, buddy, you're making international news. He's like, what? I sent him a link to the article. He's quoted quite a bit. So we got five outstanding guests. We got breaking news, however, and we have just gotten confirmation that this lawsuit, if Logan wants to show it, has been filed. United States of America, Merrick Garland, in his official capacity as Attorney General of the United States, United States Attorney for the District of Minnesota, and Christopher Wray, in his official capacity as Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is being sued by none other than Mike J. Lindell and MyPillow. The plaintiffs, Mike J. Lindell and MyPillow, Inc. Defendants I just named. This has to do with what they did the other day in relation to blocking him in with three cars, taking his phone. This has just been released. It's 20 pages. We don't have time to go through all of this, but it has been released. It has been filed. Breaking news tonight. Now, why should you care? Because we have been interviewing attorneys like Attorney Kurt Olson, Attorney Pat McSweeney, who, by the way, was high-ranking in the DOJ back in the 70s. And we interviewed tonight on the Lindell Report with Mike Lindell, Alan Dershowitz. All of these people are saying this is a major First Amendment case. This deals with the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. I think it's the Fifth Amendment they're citing as well. And so, again, this has to do with all. There's the Fourth Amendment right there, unreasonable search and seizure, right through the documents. I'm scrolling through this PDF. It's just been filed. These guys, and Alan Dershowitz, you know, is like, hey, I don't have to agree with Mike Lindell to want to defend his rights because we defend his rights. We're defending all our rights. This is a case that is going to impact all of us. In fact, that's exactly what former high-ranking DOJ official attorney Pat McSweeney said last night and tonight, right here on Lindell TV. If this is allowed to stand, the government tracking you, apparently through his cell phone, without a warrant, the government seizing your property like they did, taking your communication device, which we all know we live off our cell phones. Mike runs his business off his cell phones. He doesn't have a computer. Communicating with his attorneys off his cell phones. All kinds of things. The attorney Pat McSweeney said, if this is allowed to stand, then you can kiss the United States of America goodbye. Because we'll be losing so many of our civil liberties, we won't be able to maintain the republic. So, folks, this is a case that impacts all of us. And Mike is one of the few men in America that have the voice and the guts to take on the federal government, the FBI, the Justice Department for violation of not only his civil rights and civil liberties, but eventually and ultimately all of ours, folks, by the very things that they're doing and will continue to do if unchecked. Breaking news tonight. Joining me now is Dr. Mark McDonald. As I said in the introduction, he is author of a book, The United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. Dr. Mark, welcome to the Lindell Network and to Brandon House Live. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Brandon.
Well, you probably haven't seen my documentary, Brainwashed America, Part 1. I deal with that. That came out in February of 2021. I allude to it in Brainwashed America, Part 2, that came out Sunday night. And I'm in 100% agreement with you. I believe this is one of the largest psychological operations in world history. And I noticed that you even, as a medical doctor, you put up, I guess, this statement. Here, let me show this to you. This is interesting. Look at this, folks. Dear patients, effective immediately. Let me see if I can make it so we can read it here. Let's go do this button here. Here we go. All right. Effective immediately. All forms of child abuse will no longer be tolerated in my office. This includes masking children. Just as I would never tolerate a parent beating their child or burning him with a cigarette lighter in my presence, I will not condone or allow minors to enter my office with their faces covered. My first ethical responsibility as a physician is to do no harm to my patients, and allowing children to mask their faces has caused and continues to cause tremendous harm to them physically, emotionally, psychologically, and developmentally. Any argument to the contrary is naive and irrational. Over the past year, referrals to speech and language therapists have increased by between 25 and 300%, depending on locale. Younger children have suffered a 24% cognitive decline, along with a 22 IQ point loss among infants due to a combination of prolonged isolation, antisocial distancing, and universal masking of faces. The catastrophe is man-made and due entirely to the failings of adults. Unfortunately, in my adult patient population, many have developed a fear addiction. I strongly encourage them to remove face masks whenever possible, including when visiting my office, as a necessary first step in overcoming this addiction. I am available and happy to provide support to any patient ready to move forward toward health and freedom from fear. Let's agree to make 2022 the year for an individual and national recovery. Amen. Dr. McDonald, comment on all this. That's great.
Well, I originally, Brandon, came out with a book in late 2021 called United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. That's where it all started. And I began using that phrase, mass delusional psychosis, in summer of 2020, when I and about 12 other physicians, including Dr. Simone Gold of AFLDS, who was just released from federal penitentiary in Florida about 3 days ago for exercising her freedom of speech rights on January 6th and committing a nonviolent trespassing offense in the state capitol, spoke on the Supreme Court steps, and I said, we are, as Americans, under a mass delusional psychosis right now. We are irrational. We are not thinking in terms of common sense, basic awareness of science, basic awareness of liberty, how to treat ourselves, our children, going to work, going to school. That was 2.5 years ago, nearly. Now here we are, 2022, middle of the year. We are still living under that same mass delusional psychosis, only now I think it's evolved into something that I call a fear addiction. This is like a addiction to cigarettes. When you're anxious, what do? You reach into your pocket, you pull out a cigarette, you puff on it, you calm down. Well, what do you see people doing today in the United States? They walk past each other on the street, outside, and they feel intense anxiety because they're around other human beings. This is the first time in history that this has happened. So what do they do to alleviate the anxiety? They reach into their pocket and they put a mask on their face. It's exactly the same thing as drugs. It is a learned behavioral response that has been taught to us, ingrained on us, forced on us by our government through the complicity of media and corporations, so that now people don't have any more freedom of choice. They're acting like automatons. It's unhealthy. It's un-American. It needs to stop. And the only way to get past it, in my opinion, is to adopt a 12-step program, which is my book title, Freedom from Fear, a 12-step guide to individual and national recovery. And it's my view that if we can adopt this 12-step program, we can free ourselves from the fear addiction. Then as individuals, we can take back our rationality, our common sense. We can push back against government autocracy. And rather than a top-down approach, which we tried and failed to accomplish in the last 4 years, the bottom-up approach of taking our whole country back, person by person, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, one at a time, I believe will be successful.
Could you give us a couple of those steps?
Well, the first step is the same as it is in AA. Everybody knows someone who is an alcoholic or has been into an AA program, a recovery program, and it's this: acknowledge your addiction. So in this case, it's acknowledge your fear. I, Brennan Howes, am addicted to fear. That's the first step. Once you can acknowledge that you're afraid, once you can acknowledge that you have an addiction, then you have the opportunity to move forward. If you can't do that, then there's really no point in attending any meetings, is there?
No. And I bet
that's the first step.
I bet you a lot of Americans aren't even aware that they have been put through a psychological program. I don't know if you spent any time studying the Tavistock Institute, but I deal with them in my first documentary, where they studied guys that were prisoners of war and saw how this traumatic experience would cause them to be more willing to accept ideas that they otherwise would not accept when they were in that traumatic anxiety situation. And they thought, well, how can we then inflict this onto the society with social turbulence? Some truth mixed with contradictory information, truth and a lie mixed, contradictory information that confuses people. They don't know who to believe. So they finally throw up their hands and follow their herd mentality and this social, trauma that they're going through. I bet most Americans, Dr. Mark, aren't even aware of the fact they've been subjected to a psychological process, do they?
They're not, because they were told that they were in a medical pandemic from March of 2020. That was a lie. We were not in a medical pandemic. We were in a pandemic of fear. We never had any significant medical crisis in this country due to a virus. We are in a significant medical crisis now due to the government response to a relatively inert and benign infection that doesn't affect more than 0.003% of the population and the generally all old and infirm people. But every one of us has been subject to the fear pandemic. And the fear pandemic is based upon just what you described. It's an induced trauma. It's a constant hammering away like a mallet on meat. This tenderizing effect, every single day for 2.5 years, the first thing we read about in the paper, the first thing we see on our phone, the first piece of information we get is how many more people today have died of coronavirus. It's still going on in Los Angeles, except because they can't even find anybody dying, they have to put cases. So every day you hear something about deaths, hospitalizations, or cases, and that keeps you in a state of constant vibrational panic. It means that you cannot make rational decisions. Imagine this. If you were to wake up every day and the first thing that you were to see or hear or read would be the number of people that died in car accidents the day before. After a certain amount of time, you would be afraid to get in a car.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet people die every day in car accidents, but it's never affected us. The people that are driving in cars today are wearing masks and gloves as if that's going to protect them from something. So it's stupid,
and a lot of times they're in their car by themselves. I've seen them in their car by themselves. I'm thinking, why don't you just write idiot on your forehead?
The stupidest thing I saw in 2021 was a couple, I assume they were a couple, a boy and a girlfriend holding on to him on the back on a little a bird scooter, a paid scooter, electrified, after all the bars closed at around 2 a.m. here in Los Angeles on a weekend, riding their scooter, again, two people. It's not legal, it's not safe. Two people on a scooter, no light, no helmet, and they were both wearing masks. And they were drunk.
Yeah, but they're not going to catch the COVID, they think, because they got the mask.
Certainly
but
not.
They might end up having a massive head injury and dying right there.
Well, they don't think about that because that's not what the government tells them should be afraid of.
Don't
be afraid of alcohol, driving drunk at night with no headlights. Be afraid of being outdoors without a mask on. So you see the effect that this has psychologically on Americans. It's actually quite rational in a sense, this fear induction.
The fear itself
is irrational.
Now they're telling us that we need to be afraid of people like you and me, that you and I are a threat to the society, to the Constitution, to our republic. Joe Biden quotes a guy saying that we are a clear and present threat. And now we're getting a report that some drunk guy ran over a young conservative kid because of his politics. He was afraid of him and ran over him.
Violence is now completely acceptable if it's directed against your political enemies. However, speech is prohibited. I am being investigated right now by the California Medical Board for, this is their words, spreading medical misinformation on social media for saying the following: no one should be wearing masks. No one should be staying home from school or businesses, and no one should be getting these mRNA injections. That's on my social media. Public statement, not patient doctor, just public statement. I'm now under investigation for saying that, And there is a law, AB 2098, which was just passed by a Democrat supermajority a few weeks ago in the state of California, that entitles and allows and empowers the state to suspend the licenses of medical doctors who violate the medical misinformation bill. And it is waiting for signature on the desk of Governor Gavin Newsom. If this goes into effect, it will be legal prohibition of free speech by physicians, by one occupation. Now, obviously, this is unconstitutional. It's being fought. I'm already party to a lawsuit, which will be filed the day that this is signed by a pro bono law firm out in Chicago. However, how long will it take for it to be overturned? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? It's going to have to go past California to the Supreme Court because we don't really have a good court system here in LA, in California. So during that time, one or two or three doctors will be executed, essentially, professionally, as an example. And then all the other doctors will remain silent. They'll stop speaking to their patients, and they will just start parroting whatever they're told by the board, such as, my daughter thinks that she is a boy, to the parents. And so the doctor will say, well, then just go get a top surgery, cut off her breasts, and give her cross-sex hormones. Because if he says anything otherwise, he's going to have his license taken away. This is really scary, and this is why I tell people, this book that I've written, Freedom from Fear, the book I wrote before, Mass Delusional Psychosis, United States of Fear, it's not just about medicine. This is a much bigger battle. This battle is really between dependency and independence. It's between freedom and despotism, because this is not going to stop with just shots and masks. They're already going after children. They're committing child abuse through forced surgeries, through forced cross-sex hormones. Our energy is being taken away. We're going to be put into electric cars and then have our power cut if we say the wrong thing. We're already being taken for a ride with this Ukraine crisis in Europe. More money has been given to Ukraine to fix their border than has been given to our border to fix the invasion of 2 million illegal immigrants. I could go on and on.
Yes.
That's why these are bigger issues. And so my book is not about medicine. It's not really even about psychiatry. It's about the core psychological condition, this trauma induction, this fear, this hysteria that is depriving us as Americans of being allowed to use our brains, our rational faculties, to make common sense, reasonable decisions in every area of our life. And if we don't take this back, we will become dependent on a national or perhaps international government, and we will be living like a world Soviet Union for the rest of our lives. And that is something I am very afraid of.
Wow, absolutely. Well, you and I just met tonight. I'm just going through your book. I'm going to read more of your book. I've got it here now. And if you get a chance, take a look at my documentary, Brainwashed America, part two, just came out Sunday night. You can watch it for free at WVWTV.com. It's posted up there, WVWTV.com. Because I'm looking at your book, and we are, again, we've not met. I've not read your book till now. You and I are tracking a lot of the same themes. Chapter two of your book, Dereliction of Duty, How Feminized American Men Failed Their Women. I have a whole section in my documentary, Brainwashed America, part two, on this, and the American Psychological Association saying that male toxic masculinity was a psychological disorder. I go into the fact that they are looking to kick out men in the military, to strip our military from strong male patriotic leaders. There is a war on the American male so that the communists can take over and there won't be any leaders to lead and stop the revolt. So the first thing they have to do is remove the leaders, get the leaders out of the way, deplatform them, censor them, harass them, lawfare them, take their job, kick them out of the military, so there is no opposition of strong, patriotic, John Wayne-type, Ronald Reagan men left to stop and point out, we're in a revolution here, folks. We got to resist. We have to resist. So that's in my documentary. You're saying the same thing in chapter two of this book.
I am. You're absolutely correct. There's been a purge at every level of our society, economically, politically, militarily, of men, actual men. And it's been done by force under cover of this emergency, this so-called pandemic emergency that we've had for 3 years. All of the real men have been forcibly discharged, censored, canceled, fired, intimidated. This is a national government-level effort, but it's also happening on an individual societal level much more quietly. An example would be, boys today are told that if they express interest in the opposite sex, that they are misogynist, that they are patriarchal, that they are raping women by telling them that they're attractive. I have young people in my practice every day who come in, male and female, and say, I can't get a date. I, as a man, as a young man, am afraid to ask a girl out on a date. The girls are sitting at home saying, why doesn't anybody call me? What's going on? They're all depressed, anxious, and alone. They're not getting together. There is a vacuum of masculinity right now in our culture. And guess what happens when there's a vacuum? It sucks in something else because the space has to be filled. And what the space is being filled by today is female hysteria. This hysteria has been largely driven in the last 3 years by women. If you look on the news, guess who's advocating for top surgeries, for penectomies, for cross-sex hormones? It's not men. It's female pediatricians, female therapists, and female teachers. Why is this? This is because men have been withdrawn. They have been pulled away from our society, voluntarily and involuntarily. That is not healthy. Women need men and men need women. And when you take one sex away, the other takes over. And we cannot have one sex taking over society.
Wow. You're again coming right out of a speech that you probably don't even know about. 1956, speech given by William E. Mayer, medical doctor and psychiatrist. Studied U.S. Army, medical doctor. Studied the 1,000-plus men that came back from the Korean War who'd been brainwashed. And he said in the clip that's in my documentary part two, what you just said, that he said, I'm all for women. The great thing about the sexes is they're different. They complement each other. He said, I'm all for women getting the right to vote, getting educated, having advanced degrees. But he said, the emancipation, he said, I have to wonder if what we're doing now is having women competing with men as men. And we're destroying the proper God-ordained roles of gender. This was a man speaking to military men in 1956. I was like, wait a minute. If he was alive today, he wouldn't believe it.
That was almost 70 years ago, and you could be speaking that today because that's exactly what's happening in our society. It's happening in all Western Anglophone countries. And if you ask women today, and you ask them to be honest with you, single women, they will tell you that they cannot find men. Where have all the men gone? After my first interview with a South African Cape Town podcaster named Jeremy Nell about a year and a half ago about toxic masculinity, and I said, men have no more courage left in this country anymore, I received messages not of anger from women, but of relief, and they were from all over the world. I had one woman from Malta actually write to me, 55-year-old divorced woman, beautiful, very wealthy, two adult children. She said, I cannot find men to date. All I find are mama's boys. She said, I have more balls than the men that I meet. Where are all the men? Thank you for putting words to how I've been feeling for the last 2.5 years. That was in 2020.
Yeah, it's worse now.
Much worse.
Well, you're going to be coming back. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm recommending the book, folks. It's called, again, I have the PDF here. I'm going to keep reading on it. United States of Fear, subtitled How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. I'm going to get you back and make sure that if you have any breaking news or stories, you get back to me as well. We'll put you on here anytime, but I want to start making you a regular.
I'd love to. I write frequently every week on Substack under Dissident MD, and I have a website also called Dissident MD where I put and post all of the writings that I post, whether it's books, whether it's articles, speeches, talks. And so new topics are coming up all the time, very important ones, and I'm very happy to be able to speak about it as well as write.
DissidentMD.com?
Correct.
Yeah, we're going to be getting you back, Dr. Mark. What kind of medical doctor are you?
I'm actually a child and adolescent psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I've been working in private practice for about 12 years, and I work with children and adults. I do individual therapy, family therapy, a little bit of couples work, and also medication management. So I am seeing the direct effects of this fear pandemic, the psychological warfare. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
That has been going on for 3 years in my office every day, all ages, all sexes, all sexual orientations. This is a universal problem. It is not specific to one group, and it's affecting everyone. It's very, very scary.
You sound very common sense, obviously. I bet you know my friend, Dr. Peter Breggin, that I've been interviewing for 10 years.
I've never met him personally, but I have listened to him speak frequently, and I've read his writings. He's a very sharp guy.
Yeah, I've been interviewing him for 10 years. We're going to be getting you back. We really appreciate your coming on. And again, we'll encourage people to get your book and go to your website, dissidentmd.com. Thank you, Dr. Mark.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on.
Yeah, glad to have you. Dr. Mark McDonald checking in. Hope you'll check out his website, dissidentmd.com.